This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio.
From hockey to wrestling, football to golf, no sport left unturned. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. Neil? The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning and welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Rigabon. As usual, with me in studio, my co-host, Naz Marchese. Have you thawed out yet, Naz?
Not yet.
It's pretty cold outside. Pretty chilly out there. Listen, want to get right into it this morning. We've got a pretty hectic show, but this morning's show is a tribute to what Naz and I call Toronto's most beloved athlete of all time. That is, of course, we're honoring the life and celebrating the life this morning of Johnny Bower, and it's our Johnny Bower tribute show. Naz?
It was like we lost a piece of our family, Wally. It was a very tough night when I heard that Johnny had passed away, but lived a full life, 93 years old, and he was the life of the party, I'm told by a lot of people.
We're going to celebrate Johnny Bower today. So on May 7th of this year, we celebrated the 50th anniversary of the Toronto Maple Leafs' last Stanley Cup win, and we interviewed Johnny that day. And we're gonna replay that interview for you. It was a lot of fun. We had a lot of enjoyment talking to Johnny that day, and the interview really, really reveals a lot about his character, just the great man that he was. We're also going to be talking to two of his former teammates, the number one Toronto Maple Leaf of all time, David Keon, will be joining us. Ron Ellis will be joining us. And Montreal Canadian legend, Evan Cornoyer. Spoke with him yesterday. He was asked him if he'd be willing to participate in our Johnny Bower tribute show, and he unhesitatingly said, of course he would.
What a great line that would be. Keon, Cornway, and Ellis. Eh?
Anyways, so we've got to get right to it. We're going to go to break right now. As soon as we come back from our break, our May 7th interview with the beloved Johnny Bower. We'll be right back.
They're not here to be nice. They're here to be right. The boys are back. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Talking about 1967 and the Toronto Maple Leafs, we're pleased to welcome and certainly thrilled to welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour Toronto's most beloved Maple Leaf ever, and one of Toronto's most beloved athletes. Of course, we're talking with the incomparable Johnny Bower. Good morning, Johnny. How are you this morning?
Good. I could have lasted another 5 hours. I feel pretty good.
We're thrilled to have you. And just so you know, we just finished chatting with David Keon.
And great little hockey player he was.
Oh, he certainly was. And you and all the rest of the 1967 Toronto Maple Leafs. It was a thrill this week to recollect some of those great memories, and we just finished playing Bill Hewitt's call of the last 14 seconds where he said the Leafs win the Stanley Cup. And I just ask you very simply, Johnny, it's been 50 years. I don't know. It's hard to believe. I don't know if this week means anything special to you, but your fondest recollections of that 1967 team.
Well, I can recall first, if I remember reading in a paper where they said we won't get the Stanley Cup because we got too many old guys on the team and youngsters. But boy, oh boy, you know, we had the experience in youth, and you know, just mentioned Davey Keon and the rest of the players there that we had. Look at the defense that I had: Horton, Stanley, Brewer, Vaughn. Wow, those guys I depended on a lot, and just to mention a few. And of course, there's some rest of the forwards. I mean, we had a good, well-balanced hockey club, and a good coach too. A lot of guys didn't like Punch, but because he was very demanding, and I did, because I strived in hard work, and no matter what profession you choose, whether it's baseball, hockey, or anything like that, if you don't work for something, you're not going to go any further.
Johnny, you're famous for the poke check. Who taught you that?
Charlie Rayner, when I was the New York Rangers, he come up to me once, and he said to me, John, those guys are coming in right in at you all the time. And of course, he said, you got to learn the poke check. I said, what's that? He said, that I'll show you after a practice. And he was about 6'4", and I was a little bit shrimp-like, you know. But we lined up about five pucks there, and he showed me how to die for him and that. And I said, yeah, but what happened if you miss a guy? Well, if you miss him, the next thing you got, you can, your stick will go in his skates, and he'll go flying into the corner. And I said, well, accidentally that is, eh? Well, if you want to call it accidentally, but that didn't do it on purpose. But I was taught by him anyway, and he I give him a lot of credit for it. He passed away now, I think.
John, we're talking to Johnny Bauer. Johnny, talking about the 67 series, there's, you know, when you get back into looking into what happened in that series and that playoff run in that 67 series, you're reminded.
I can't hear you.
I'm sorry, Johnny. Talking about the 67 series, I'm reminded some critical things I'd forgotten, but I'm reminded about that. Although Terry Sawchuk was in net in Game 6, I thought, and I was reminded, the series really turned in Game 2 and 3 when you were in net. And the stats will show that in games 2 and 3, of course, game 3 was the infamous double overtime win. You stopped 91 out of 93 shots in those two games, and that was really when that series turned. And after that, it just seemed like you frustrated and the team frustrated the Canadians at every turn. Your remembrances of your outstanding performance.
Well, I tell you, it's a good thing I had my communication with my defenseman was unbelievable. Like, you know, I knew Alan Stanley was an angle player. I knew Bobby Bond was a blocker for me. I knew Timmy Horton was a tough guy, and I knew Larry Hillman was great out in front. And we worked together very, very closely, and we knew what to do. We yelled each other and happened. In a good way, like, you know, in a good sense, no matter what happened. But it was something that we wanted to dream of, so I did. I did anyway as a child, because, you know, you have a lot of dreams to have your name engraved in the Stanley Cup. And I never got, you know, I hung around the American Hockey League for around 13 years, and I never got a break. And I finally did get one, and then when I went to New York, and that's what happened.
Johnny, we asked David Keon to set the record straight on something, and he couldn't recall whether this happened or not. So we're going to ask you. The rumor, the myth is that just before Game 6, Punch took out $10,000 $1 bills.
That's right.
And he threw them on the dressing room floor. Quite frankly, David couldn't remember that, so we have to ask you, did that in fact happen?
That's true of fact, and that I was the first guy to go for that. And Punch come in, and he said, you stay away from there, you'll be sorry. No, but that's true. He come in, and he threw the money right in there, and everybody's eyes popped out. We just figured, this is how much money we can make. And Punch explained everything to us, and maybe that made us a lot hungrier and higher at work, too, as well.
Johnny, we won't keep you much longer, but there is something I have to ask you. It certainly was back in the 60s, and please don't be offended by this, but I think you had a lot of fun with the media and with the fans back in those days, but we could never figure out how old you were, because you were either 42 or 44, or we thought you understated your age, so we want you to set the record straight. How old are you?
Well, okay. I'll tell you the truth. I was born in 19... No, I won't tell you the truth. I'm actually, right now, I'm 92.
What?
That's a true age, honest to God. I lied about my age, because if I didn't, I thought, gee, I'd never get a chance to get that National League. I kept going back. Every time I got a birthday, I kept going backwards, and my wife was going forward, and
And Johnny, you know what? You just opened up another can of worms for me. I have to ask you this, too. I've probably been waiting a long time for this. But I actually had, were they called 78s in those days or 45s? I had a...
45s.
There were 45s. Yeah. I actually purchased, I'm pretty sure it was at Jane and Wilson. They used to have a record store at Jane and Wilson. Honky the Christmas Goose.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You got to tell me. How did that come about? How did you get drafted to record that?
Actually, there was after a practice, there was a chap there that talked to a Punch, and he wrote Honky the Christmas Goose, and he came in the dressing room, and he wanted to sing, somebody to sing this song. So they listened to this record and sing it. So when he got in, we were going into the shower and that, and... all of a sudden, I'm the only guy sitting there, and he says, "Johnny, you're the only guy." I says, "What?" I says, I can't sing." I said, "I'll do my singing in the shower." I said, "But I can't sing." "John, you got to help it out. It's for a very, very good cause." And I said, "Jeepers, well, I don't know. I'll have to talk." So I hummed this and that, and finally I said, "Okay." I said, "He says I'm going to come down to your house and we're going to practice." He came down to the house and practiced Honky the Christmas Goose. And you know what? It was successful because I sold about 40,000 of them.
I was one of them. I was one of them.
Or did you get one?
Yeah, of course.
I still have mine somewhere.
You can't hold on to that because it's a collector's.
Oh,
item.
I'm sure it is.
I wish I had it.
That's triple the money.
I got to go down my basement see if I can still. I haven't got a machine that can play it, but I still think I have it. Listen, Johnny, you've been generous with your time, and we don't want to keep you any longer. There's something I do want to say. And I had a quick discussion with your wife Nancy on the phone the other day, and as a lot of our listeners know, there's a street in the Jane Lawrence area that's called Johnny Bauer Avenue.
Yes,
it used to be called Patika.
Yeah,
and back in the early '60s, I grew up in the Jane and Lawrence area. I lived in the Jane and Lawrence area for a few. For a few years, my family, I was a young boy at the time, and I'm sure you remember, Johnny, we all used to hang out outside your house waiting for you to come home, and you and your wife, Nancy, and I want to take the opportunity of thanking her. You left an indelible mark on the memories of some very young children because you were generous, as you are generous with your time today with us.
I just love people. I love talking to them. And I'm 92. I'm lucky to be anywhere. But I just feel good. As long as it's a charity, I'll go anywhere because I read the papers a lot and how people need help and everything else. And we do. There's a lot of phone rings a lot and want to know if I can. I can't take doubles anymore like I used to. But I mean, I like to go there and sign autographs and talk to people and this and that. I had a lot of fun. And there was a chap I bumped into there the other day, and he was in a wheelchair. And he says, "Mr. Bauer, how are you?" I said, "Fine." He says to me, "When are the Leafs going to win the Stanley Cup?" I said, "Well, you have to give him a little bit of time." And I lifted him up 2 inches off the chair, and he says, "Time?" He says, "It's been 50 years." And I didn't know what else to say to the guy, you know. So I said, "I'm sorry. Next question, please."
Anyways, Johnny, thank you for today. Thank you and Nancy for 55 years ago, and thank you for everything in between. You've got two Naz and Wally here proudly wearing the Toronto Maple Leaf sweater this morning with big smiles on our faces talking to our most beloved Johnny Bauer. Thank you so much.
Thank you very, very much, and God bless you all.
Thanks, Johnny.
God bless you, and God bless your wife, Nancy. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Johnny. Welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I still get goosebumps, Naz, when I listen to that interview. That was our interview with Johnny Bauer on May the 7th, and makes me a little emotional, but we have Ron Ellis on the phone. And Ron, good morning. How are you, sir?
I am fine, thank you very much. And hearing him speak, hearing his words, knowing that he's gone is very difficult indeed.
Yeah, it certainly, and thank you so much for joining us, Ron. It's
my pleasure.
It's been a difficult week for Leaf fans, for Johnny Bower fans, and I'm sure more so for family of Johnny Bower and friends of Johnny Bower, and you are a personal friend of Johnny Bower, Ron, and you became quite close to him over the years. I'm going to ask you, Ron, your thoughts when you heard the terrible news.
Well, of course, we knew this day was coming. Johnny's had a few health problems, and in the last few years, he's had a couple of falls, and we knew it was coming, but when I heard, I still couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe he was gone, and I'm still dealing with that at this point. But he's such a fighter. He was such a competitor as a player, and he just fought very, very hard through a few difficult times in the last few years, and. But it was a sad moment when I got the call.
Ron, I've heard other interviews you've done, and you've spoken about your close bond with Johnny Bower. Just being so close to Johnny, what made Johnny such a special man?
Yes. Well, it all goes back to my first year with the Leafs. I joined the Leafs in '64 after they won three Stanley Cups in a row, and that was a pretty tight knit group. As you can imagine, there's 10 Hall of Famers off those Cup teams, and I was concerned about how they'd accept me. I was basically the first major change they made. But I didn't have to worry about that. The guys were terrific, a lot of men of character. But Johnny was, he was exceptional. He in his gentle way, made me feel welcome and accepted. And I'll always remember that. And his dear wife, Nancy, who you were referring to a few moments ago, my wife and I have been married now for 51 years, and at the time when I joined the club, we were dating, and she was the only wife or the only person not married, if you know what I'm trying to say, and Nancy came alongside and really helped my wife, my present wife, through some tough times too, because she had adjustments to make, and Nancy was certainly aware of that and made her very comfortable. So from that, and I appreciated that so much, and from that time on, we certainly became close. I sort of adopted them as a second set of parents.
Ron, congratulations on a great career, by the way.
Thank you.
And you're one of the only Leafs that played on the Leafs, and the Leafs only. There's other players that have played on many teams. You started as a Leaf and you retired as a Leaf. There's not too many of those around, and congratulations on that.
Well, thank you. That was important to me. Toronto was my team, and when I had an opportunity to come in and be a Marley, I knew that was a big step, and if I could make the move from the Marlies to the Leafs, my dream would come true, and I always wanted to be a Leaf. I had opportunities, to go other places and so on, but I turned those down because I wanted to be remembered as a Leaf.
Ron, you came up in 63-64 to play one game. How did that feel as a high school student at Downs U Collegiate? I couldn't imagine. I'm going to high school and I'm playing for the Leafs one night.
I can remember it like yesterday. I was with the Marlies. We had a great team. We won the Memorial Cup that year, actually. I was playing on a line with Peter Stemkowski and Wayne Carlton. Three of us all scored over 40 goals that year, and I got the call from Punch to come up for a game, and I wasn't too sure if I was going to get on the ice, because back then players would get called up, and just in case someone got hurt. But lo and behold, Punch comes in before the game and, you know, he basically says starting lineup, Horton, Stanley, Kelly, Mahomlich, and Ellis. Oh, my goodness. So we started the game, and it's a memory that I cherish. And, you know, to pull that Lee sweater on for the first time. And because of that successful year with the Marlies, and I think that helped me make the move to the Leafs the following year.
Ron, how were the veterans towards you when you came up, especially Johnny? How was he when you came up to the team?
As I mentioned, what a team. You know, if you look at that club, you know, your Bonds, your Stanleys, your Hortons, your Mahovlich, Keon, you just go down the list, George Armstrong, captain, and just amazing, amazing man of character. And they taught me a lot. They taught me what it meant to be a professional and what it meant to be a Leaf. And I soaked it all in. But Johnny was sort of a little bit of an exception because of his kindness, his gentleness. So I always appreciated that, and we, as a result, we became very close. And I cherished the fact that I had, I think it was 6 years with Johnny, playing with Johnny, and of course today I cherish it even more. But we became very good friends after hockey, when I retired, because we both lived in Toronto. We ended up doing a lot of things together, charity events and appearances, and so we extended our friendship for many years.
We've been talking to Ron Ellis. Ron, we want to thank you so much. We'd love to spend a lot more time with you this morning. We have we're a little bit tight for time. We've got David Keon coming on shortly, and we also have Yvonne Cornway of Montreal Canadiens, who jumped at the opportunity to come on and talk about his respect for Johnny Bauer as well.
Well, I'm no doubt Davey's going to be in town next week. You probably realize, guys, there's going to be lots going on next week in, to honor Johnny, and Cornoyer would certainly be a great guy to speak to as well, because back in those days it was Toronto versus Montreal, as you know, and in that old six-team league. So I know you're going to have a great show.
Brian, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your thoughts and your emotions about your good friend, Johnny Bauer. And we'd love to have you back on at some point in time to talk about Ron Ellis. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure, guys.
Thanks, Ron.
That, of course, was Ron Ellis. We got David Keon coming up. We've got Yvonne Cornway coming up. So let's head to break, and let's get right back here with David Keon.
There are two ways to argue sports with these guys, and none of them work. The boys are back, the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. It's our Johnny Bauer tribute show, and just finished talking to a very emotional Ron Ellis. And now we have on the line David Keon. Good morning, David. How are you?
I'm good, Wally. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much. I kind of hope that you can send some of that weather from Florida up here.
No, you don't want this weather.
Or I gotta make the reverse trek and go the other way. Anyways, David, it's our Johnny Bauer tribute show, and you spent quite a few years with Johnny. Four Stanley Cups together, some great memories, and just very, 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 very briefly, I want to give you an opportunity to express your thoughts on Johnny. Obviously, one of the most beloved athletes in Toronto's history. Your thoughts on your time playing and knowing Johnny Bauer.
Well, he was just a great person. Very positive and very giving and very caring. And after that, he was a great goaltender and a great teammate. Every time you'd see him, he had a smile on his face, and he was wanted to know how you were doing and how you were feeling. And I just really, really enjoyed being in his company. He was such a positive guy.
David, the one thing, I don't think it gets lost in the shuffle, but because Johnny was such a beloved man in Toronto, you know, especially, you know, spent, you know, so much time in the community here. It was, he was very public, and he became almost like everybody's grandfather figure. But people, I don't say that they forget, but sometimes gets overlooked what a damn good goalie he was.
He was a great goalie.
Yeah, I mean, he's the number seven.
Good. He was a great goaltender. Yeah. Probably in the 60s when I was there, or we played together, I don't think there was anybody better.
David Naz, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Naz. How are you?
I'm good. I'm a little cold. It's really cold over here.
I heard that.
Minus 30 degrees, David.
To coming up on Tuesday.
Oh. But where you if you bring some thermal underwear, David.
I that's what I'm told.
My goodness, global warming. I'm not sure about that, but anyway, Johnny and George Armstrong. I'm told that they were kind of a comedy routine in those days. Were they the funny guys of the room, or who was it?
Well, I'm in between the two of them because they roomed together and they. I don't know if it went back to when they played in the American League together, because George used to always bug him about Gil Mayer, who was the goalie in Pittsburgh, and John was playing in Cleveland, and George used to tell him that Gil Mayer, because he was the best, because the number that he had was zero, so that meant that he was the best. And John would just go wild about that. And George did it just purely to get under his skin, and he succeeded every time. And John would respond.
I heard you quoted the other day, David, that we were talking about the players from those Leafs teams from the 60s. And the quote you made is that you were great hockey players, but better people. And that's I want to expound upon that a little bit. Great hockey players, but better people. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Oh well, I mean, hockey was. I mean, they do anything for you. They help you in any situation. They cared about, you know, they cared about what they did, and they were all great hockey players, but they were people who cared about their community, cared about what they did, and cared about other people. So they, I guess the best way of putting it is, you know, there was nobody who was self-centered. They cared about everybody.
David, was there one game that Johnny Bowers stood out as on your recollection of all the games he played for the Leafs?
Oh, there was a number of games. You know, I wouldn't single out one right now, but there were a number of games, especially in the playoffs. He would come up with big saves and, either keep us in the game and give us a chance to get back to, to tie it, or to keep a lead and have us go on and win. That happened on numerous occasions.
We're talking to David Keon. David, one thing you think about Johnny Bower, there's one episode or one little vignette from the 60s that and especially during the holiday season is, of course, his recording of Honky Honky the Christmas Goose.
Oh yeah.
I just what was the reaction? What was the reaction amongst the team when you found out that he was going to be doing that recording? I'm sure he must have been the butt of a few jokes.
Oh, he was. I think if I recall right, everybody's saying, "What are you doing? You can't sing."
And was there any effort?
But it never bothered fired him. You know, he just went ahead and did it, and it became a an instant success.
And that certainly must have brought a few laughs in the dressing room. Where a few did they ever try to recruit some of you guys to do backup vocals at all?
No, he did not.
Certainly, you left a memory there. And the other part I wanted to talk a little bit about, David, is of course we briefly chatted about how great of a goalie he was, and he certainly was. 4 Stanley Cups and 2 Vezina trophies. One of the top 100 hockey players of all time, the number 7th greatest Toronto Maple Leaf of all time. And he, you know, had this image for the last 50 years of being being this grandfatherly figure. But my suspicion is behind that friendly demeanor was the heart of a lion and the heart of an ultimate competitor. Tell us a little bit.
Oh, definitely. He was a competitor. He wouldn't, everything he competed in. I mean, in practice, he competed. He didn't want any goals scored, and, of course, it carried over into the game. But he was fierce in that regard. He had this, as you say, grandfatherly and appearance about him. Later, after he'd retired, and he was kind of the face of the Leaf franchise. But no, when he played, I don't know what he was like when he, before he came to the Leafs when he was younger. But I know he was a fierce, fierce competitor, and just hated to lose, and more than that, he hated to give up a goal.
I heard his practice ethic was incredible. He used to practice hard all the time. Is that true?
Oh, sure. I mean, little story. We were practicing one day out at Tam-O-Shanter. That's where our practice rink was at the time. And he was having a bad day, you could say. Almost every, if he had, 800 shots, 790 went in. So George was saying, John, I want you to stay out so I can take practice shots. I need to work on my shot. But John was so mad at him. He was so distraught and so mad that he, for one of the only times he left, he left. By the time we got off the ice, he was gone. And the next day we came back, and if he had 800 shots again, he stopped 798 of the shots.
Wow.
And he was saying to anybody who wanted to, he said, I'm going to stay out and take shots if anybody wants to. Well, nobody was scoring, so it was just kind of a waste of time. All the guys left. And he came in the room. We said, what's wrong with you guys today? But he was such a competitor.
We've been talking to David. I'm gonna finish this off embarrassing you a little bit. I know you don't like it when I say these types of things, but I will. We had the opportunity today to talk about two of the most, Johnny Bower, the most beloved athlete in Toronto sports history, and I also got a chance to talk to you, also one of the most revered athletes in Toronto sports history. David, the fans love you up here in Toronto. We love to see you as often as we possibly can, and all we can say is we wish you the best, and thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
All right, well, Wally and Naz, thank you. It was my pleasure.
Thanks,
always,
David.
It's always
and
our
bring
pleasure.
Bring some extra clothes, will you? Because
this I will.
Is really cool.
Thank you.
Okay, David.
Thanks, David. That is, of course, the greatest Toronto Maple Leaf in history, David Keon. And going from the greatest Toronto Maple Leaf in history, we are now privileged to talk with one of the greatest Montreal Canadiens in history. That is, of course, the legendary Montreal Canadian, the Roadrunner, Yvan Cornway. Good morning, Yvan. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, good morning. I know, like you said, it's pretty cold, but it's a beautiful day.
Listen, Yvan, thank you so much for joining us. We chatted briefly yesterday, and as I know you're aware, Johnny Bower passed away this week, and Johnny is one of the most legendary athletes in Toronto history and also in Canada's history. And it was we thought it appropriate that we ask a member of Montreal Canadiens, and of course you, being one of the greatest Montreal Canadiens ever, to come on and share your a different perspective, from the perspective of an adversary on the rink, a friend off the rink, but an adversary on the rink, your thoughts about the passing of Johnny Bower.
Well, I think Johnny was a beautiful man. I mean, every time I saw him, I said, Johnny, I said, if you know what, you're getting older, but if I can look like you when I'm older, I want to get there too. And every time I saw him, it was like a refreshing guy to see. I guess Johnny, I had my, I don't say I got my problem, but I was 20 years old when I had a penalty shot against him. And he stopped me. And after that, it was just like, not that many goalies I had problem with. But against Johnny Bower, because I had that moment, every time I score against him, I turn around and I look at him. And that was a moment I remember all the time, my first penalty shot.
Ivan, what was the reaction of the Montreal Canadiens towards Johnny as a person and as a player?
Pardon?
What were the Johnny Bower had respect, of course. What were the reactions towards him by the Montreal Canadiens players?
Well, it's like Dave said, he was always compete. It was the time that Gump Worsley was really compete too. And don't forget, those days they had no mask in front of them, and they have to block shots sometime. If you have like Bobby Hall and Dennis Hall and all those guys in Chicago who were shooting the puck very hard, and they have to compete all the time. But I think it's the game after game, and to be compete every night, that was they make it so good. And everybody respect that. I mean, when you play against them, that Johnny Bower is going to be there. And I remember the last time they won the Stanley Cup, I was on the ice against them in 67. So they have an older team, and we thought then, well, it's going to be easy maybe for us to win the Stanley Cup, but it was not. They come and compete, and when you have a goalie like Johnny, when you play forward or defense, I think you like to work harder because those guys are working very hard in the net.
We're talking to Ivan Cornway, Montreal Canadian legend. Ivan, and first of all, Ivan, congratulations. I know that you were appointed an ambassador on behalf of Canada to promote Canada's 150th birthday, and I know that you've attended various events across the country and done your best to be an ambassador on behalf of Canada, and thank you so much and congratulations.
Well, I think I was very honored to be able to do that. First of all, you have to be healthy, and you have to be here to do that. So, I remember 1972 when I had a chance to play for Canada. I didn't have a chance to go to the Olympics. So, for me, it was my Olympic in 72 because I have the sweater of Canada on my shoulder. And, the 2,000-3,000 people who came in Russia, I think it really helped us to win over there. So it was a great feeling to represent our country again.
Ivan, 50 years ago was a special series between Toronto and Montreal, and we've got you on this morning on our Johnny Bower tribute show. And it was it's a series, obviously, in Toronto that's we thought we would have a different history over the course of the last 50 years. Montreal's had a more successful history. But looking back on that series, there was, correct me if I'm wrong, Johnny Bower played in Game 2 and Game 3, which I always thought were the two pivotal games in that series, especially Game 3, which was the double overtime game. And I know that you've always said that this is a series that Montreal let get away from it. But do you recall, correct me if I'm wrong, in overtime of Game 3, I believe you had a breakaway and Johnny Bower poke-checked you. Does that bring back any memories for you?
Well, I think I remember my penalty shot I got against him. I'm not sure if I remember that, but if you saw it, I'm sure. I'm not surprised. I'm sure he did it because it was a series. Then you know, that was Expo 67 in Montreal, and we thought that you know we're gonna win that series. But I think it was a light for us to say you have to respect the team you're going to play with, especially in the playoff against, I mean. So after that, you know, I always really, really afraid to lose in the playoff after we lose in 67.
Ivan, the comparison has been made to Johnny Bowers passing away to the two of former Canadians and greats, and Maurice Richard and John Béliveau. How was it back then when they passed away, and just in relationship with Johnny's time here?
Well, I know I remember when John passed away, John Béliveau, about, 2 or 3 years ago already. And I saw Johnny Bauer. He was there with the service of the church, and I talked with Johnny a little bit. And, you know, it's always guys like that. You don't have that many left. You know, Johnny was very, very nice with the people. He was signing autographs all the time, and he was so pleasant to meet all the time. So, you know, I think when somebody go, I was very when my wife told me that Johnny passed away, I did have a chance to read the paper right away, and I said, "Wow!" I said, "Another one." And you know, we're all getting older, and. They're very hard to replace. I mean, I miss really Jean Béliveau when he passed away because he was my captain for a long time, and this gentleman was so respect and respect everybody. So, you know, those guys, they're really rare. There's not too many left.
And we're talking to Ivan Cornway, and we'd be remiss. We won't keep you much longer, Ivan.
No problem.
We'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the... And we've sort of touched upon it through talking about Johnny, but the great rivalry between Toronto and Montreal that we grew up with. The rivalry existed in the 40s, not so much in the 50s, maybe the early 50s, but then the 60s were sort of the heyday of the Toronto-Montreal rivalry because, you know, in that decade, the Stanley Cups went back and forth, four for Toronto, one of the most successful eras in Toronto's history. I just wanted to touch a little bit upon that intense rivalry between Toronto and Montreal. I know you came up with the Junior Canadiens, and I just expressed my admiration for David Keon a little while ago. I'm going to do the same for you, Ivan. I actually used to wear a number 12 Montreal Canadiens jersey when I was younger. So, and when I spoke with my wife this morning, she asked me, "Who are you interviewing today?" And I said David Keon and Ron Ellis, and I said and Ivan Cornway. And she said to me, "Ivan, yeah, that was that fast guy in Montreal, wasn't he?" And I said, "And my to be quite frank with you, Ivan, my wife's name's Rita. She doesn't watch all that much hockey. She's not the greatest hockey fan. She's not the greatest sports fan. But she remembers you as the fast guy," and my mother remembered Johnny Bauer as her favorite hockey player. But, Ivan, tell us a little bit about you came up through the Junior Canadiens. And, you know, you made the NHL, and the Leafs had won a couple of Stanley Cups then. And how can you express in words what it was like to face up against the Toronto Maple Leafs? So how intense that rivalry was?
Well, you got to get ready for a couple of days before you play the game. I mean, you play the game maybe on a Saturday night, and Thursday you start to think about it. And you know it's going to be a battle every time we play Toronto. And don't forget, I start in 64, 65, and we're still traveling by train. And sometime we have home and home game, and we're coming back after the game on the same train, but we cannot go on the same cart where they were sleeping and eating because maybe a fight would start. So... You never know. The competition was really, really hard, really tough. But this is what we used to like to play against. competition all the time. We play 14 games against each other all the time every year, and the playoff and the exhibition game. So we knew the guys very well. I mean, so it was, but that was the way we liked it. I mean, the competition was tough, and we like to compete. So we're both the same. I mean, we did like each other. Toronto did like each other. We did like them. And everybody knows that, so.
We've been talking to Evan Cornway. Evan, I want to thank you so much for joining us. And the word, you know, we so much enjoy talking to athletes like yourself and Dave Keon and Ron Ellis, because it reminds us so much of a human value that sometimes we take for granted, is the incredible respect. I hope it's not a value that's lost in the younger generation, but your generation, my generation, I'm not that far behind you, Ivan.
Well, you know, it's like I said to a lot of people. I said, we grew up together, you in front of the TV and me on the ice. And it's exactly what happened those days. And, you know, when I heard that Johnny was left away from us, and I was really, really sorry. Because he was a great man.
Ivan, I once again thank you so much for joining us. It's a privilege for us, and we wish you all the best.
Thank you very much.
It's our pleasure. Thank you so
much.
Thank you, Ivan. Ivan Cornway, Montreal Canadiens legend. Naz, it's
you had your day. Two of your most favorite players.
Oh, I know. And you're going to have to bring me down from the clouds after this show. Really. And we've talked about this so many times. You know, young athletes just starting out. You know what? They should spend 10 minutes. Unfortunately, can't spend 10 minutes with Johnny Bauer anymore. But take a look at whatever you can find. These guys are models. They're heroes. You know, when I called Ivan Cornway yesterday asking him to be on the phone, a lot of times I'll call people, and you know the reaction we get sometimes, Naz. Yeah, it's Sunday morning. Yeah. I'm busy. You know, not so much amongst the retired athletes, though, but some of the younger, you know, they've got a lot of demands on their time. And, you know, not this week. You know, call me in a month's time. Ivan Cornway, I called him yesterday. I said, Ivan, we'd love to have you on the show. We were talking about Johnny Bauer. And he said, first thing he said to me, what time? I said, 9:45. You can count on it. Yeah, I'd love to talk about Johnny Bauer. It's the respect that these, I don't like to call them older athletes, athletes from that generation, they were the most fierce rivals on the ice, almost to the point where there was, I wouldn't call it hatred in a negative sense, but they hated each other.
Yeah.
Man, but the respect that they show each other, it really is a value that young athletes, or anybody for that matter, should absorb. You talked about talking to Dave Keon and Ivan Cornway. To me, the two heroes of my youth.
Yeah.
Really were. Two of the classiest athletes. Not only from their personal values, their personal tributes, but the way they played the game. Keon and Cornway, they could skate like the wind. They were classy. They weren't, you know, they weren't rough. They were skilled. They played hockey the right way. It just, and the, you know, the opportunity to, I mean, we've talked to both of them before, but to have them both on the same show and to celebrate the life of Johnny Bauer, I mean, you know, they have that hackneyed expression, a kid in a candy store, but we're kid in a candy store. We're really kids in a candy store today.
You know, Johnny Bauer was my father's favorite player, and he used to always say this. He said, why can't the Leafs, in his Italian accent, obviously, why can't the Leafs have a goalie like Johnny Bauer who would stop a puck with his face?
Yeah. And that's the way it was.
There's a classic pictures of that, right?
Yeah.
And Johnny Bauer grew up in our house as our favorite player. Yeah. Johnny Bauer was quite the man, I'm telling you.
He was my mother's favorite player. Johnny Bauer lived in our neighborhood, and I related this story. I was on the air with Neil Headley the other morning. He asked me to talk about Johnny Bauer. We used to live in the same neighborhood for a few years when I was about 5, 6, 7 years old, and I've only got a minute left. I'll try and keep this brief as possible. All the little kids in the neighborhood used to show up on Johnny's driveway waiting for him to come home. And he always took the time for us. He always took the time, and especially his wife Nancy, what a classy lady. They took the time for us to greet the little kids and make our day. And I relate this story all the time. And if you're a younger athlete and you're going to make it in the pros, listen to this. Because you take, and it was that Joe Green commercial. Remember where he, with that little kid? You take 10 seconds of your time for a little kid, and you will create a memory for that kid the rest of his life. And what could be more valuable than what else can you do in your life that could be more valuable than creating a great memory for a human being? And Johnny Bower,
he did that many times.
I got the finally got the chance to thank him when we interviewed him on that May 7th show. I said, Johnny, and I said it to Nancy as well, thanks so much for leaving such an incredible memory with me and with so many others. And if you're an athlete, don't forget the power that you have. And it's not just about making money. You have a lot of people that hero worship you. Make a difference. We only got a couple of seconds left, Naz. I have to take the opportunity, and I'll turn it over to you for last word. I want to thank our sponsors. It's our year-end show, Pizzaville, Angelo, Nella, Stephanie, Steel's Paint, Claudio, Alta Infinity, Dominic. You guys have supported us from day one. You have no idea how much we appreciate it. You have no idea how important you are in making things, putting a smile on Naz and I's face. To all our listeners, Happy New Year. Naz, last
happy
word.
Happy New Year to everybody, and rest in peace, Johnny.
Thank you.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.